Hey, Tony Styles. Hey, Tony, you know who Vincent Eastwood, Vinny Eastwood is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring him into the conversation here. I like my buddy Vinny, Mr. New Zealand himself, Vinny Eastwood. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh my goodness, it's been fantastic sitting here on hold for like the last 10 minutes listening to you guys speak. I swear. Hey, have you ever sat at a red light before, and just before the light goes green, you lose your nut and you start yelling at it, go green, and then it goes green. You're like, oh man, if only I'd waited a few more seconds before I went nuts.
Is that what you were doing while you're listening?
Oh yeah, I was like, damn it, I want to contribute to the conversation. Why would they? I don't want to be on hold anymore. And then they take me off hold.
How funny.
Oh, you can't make this stuff up.
That's your shot, Vinny. Tell us what you think about the whole our conversation this evening.
It's so funny because this actually continues on from the conversation I just had with G. Edward Griffin. I got to interview him for about 90 minutes. And it was funny. We started off the conversation talking about liberty principles and things of that nature. And then we actually ended the conversation talking about the wake-up process people go through and how intensely traumatic it is and how you lose most of your friends in the quote-unquote real world and blah, 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 blah. And what's very interesting about freedom is that people don't actually value it, all right? Like, have you ever said something along the lines of, I don't want excess taxation, or something perfectly frickin' reasonable, and then some communist scumbag comes up and calls you, like, an evil, no-good, very bad person just because of that? You know what I'm saying? It's sort of like, you don't have what you say interpreted, you have what the other person interprets what you say interpreted, right? Kind of like yeah. I'm going to base my thoughts upon my assumptions of what you didn't think. All right. That's a way to eliminate confusion, isn't it? It's not working that well, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I was just having an argument with people about voting and things like that recently, and a lot of people don't vote, and that's fine. That's fine. You know, don't vote if you don't want to. However, don't not vote and then don't and then sit around doing absolutely nothing to try and save your country from the scumbaggery, the tyranny, the setup of the police state and all of that kind of stuff, okay? There's 100 things you could be doing to influence how your country turns out. Voting is probably one of the least powerful versions of that, but it doesn't mean you should throw it away. It's not like you've got, a rocket launcher and an M4 and a pistol, and you just go, wow, the rocket launcher and the M4 are more powerful than the pistol. I'll just throw it away. I don't need it. Dude, when you run out of ammunition, you're going to need that sidearm, yo.
Absolutely. That's throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that's why I vote. But who do I vote for is the question. I had a guy call me a baby killer because I vote. Yeah. It's like, I ticked a box, therefore I support the establishment, therefore I kill babies. Right? That's the thought process going on.
If you want to go totally technical on the whole thing and go through the deductive reasoning to the point where you can't come down to anything anymore, which is not the best way to go about things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Getting things accomplished means...
He could advocate that.
Yeah. Well, getting things accomplished, in my experience, means you actually have to do something, you know, in general. I mean, did I miss something?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying earlier.
Maybe I'm just being naive, you know.
No. You're being a realist. You know, I cannot stand the philosophy of do not participate. It pisses me off to no end. At first, when I listened to it, I was like, okay, let me, you know, because you're developing all your ideas. And I thought it through, and I just thought, you know, that is just the weakest, most pathetic excuse, because you're not doing anything. You're not taking any action to stop what's going on. You're just sitting back and going, well, it's wrong, so I'm not going to do anything.
Let me ask you this, Lisa. Let me ask you this. If there was this awakening that Tony Styles was alluding to earlier, and everyone realized that government is corrupt, it's evil, it does no good for anybody. If everyone came to that realization, and individually everyone decided not to participate, what would happen?
Well, you mean, hold on a second, are you asking what would happen if everybody individually acted like a collectivist?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no.
Exactly. No, see, hold on. Can I explain?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying that everyone individually realized, and it doesn't take everybody. It just takes 10% for a tipping point.
Usually less than that.
If 10% of the population realize that government is a farce, it's an illusion of authority in their own minds, and walked away, that would start the revolution or the awakening that Tony was speaking of earlier.
I disagree, because 80% of Americans currently don't vote and don't believe in it, and what's changing? Nothing. It's only getting worse, and the tyrannical scumbags that run your life are only getting stronger and stronger. They're taking more of your money and taking more of your liberties day by day. Doing nothing doesn't work. I mean, it's self-evident, is it not, that the whole bunch of people who sit around waiting for somebody to save them, a messiah complex, I mean, I really hate the people who voted for Barack Obama thinking he was going to save everything, because it was just like KRS-One said, everybody was like up against the government, up against them, but you put a black man in front of them, and they just sit back, you know, and that was... That was exactly what happened, wasn't it? It's almost like they dangle a carrot in front of you, but then they actually give you the carrot once in a while, but it tastes like crap, so you stop trying to get the carrot that they're dangling in front of you, and you don't stab the person handling it and take it off them. You know?
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of water cooler gossip. You know, a bunch of awake people just, oh, yeah, that's really bad. Oh, yeah, this is terrible. Look at this. Oh, did you see what he did? Oh, yeah. And all they're doing is gossiping. You're useless.
I mean, get out there and do something. I mean, just the other day, one of my listeners stopped listening to my show and then took a big placard and went out there to our current government's, one of their meetings that was happening in her area, with a big sign talking about their corruption and everything. And I said, that's what I want all of my listeners and all of my viewers to do, ideally. Stop listening to me. Stop viewing me. Get off your own ass. Go out there and get in the face of scumbaggery yourself. Only then will you realize how much power you truly have and how weak me just talking about it actually is.
Absolutely. I agree 100% with that whole thing. Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's perfect. Everybody needs to do that. The whole goal of my job is not to have a job. I love that mentality. The whole goal of my job of activism and doing the radio show and everything that I do is that eventually I'm going to render myself obsolete. That would be the best accomplishment that any of us could ever hope for.
I mean, unemployment is the highest standing that anybody could ever hope to achieve. I mean, no, that may sound funny. That may sound funny, but think about this. How many people are employed versus how many people are actually making their own money in their own way and don't have to do what other people tell them to do, right? That's for me, the essential difference between somebody who's employed and somebody who's not. However, it depends whether or not you're productive when you don't have somebody else telling you what to do, whether or not you have your own power, your own motivation, and your own support that you can create by yourself. This is the inherent power every single person has. And something G. Edward Griffin told me today, and I thought it was absolutely poignant. I was talking to him about how when I used to listen to Alex Jones, and then I just turned him off, and I went out there and I started doing my own radio, my own video, and finding all these activists who the media ignore or soundbite into nothingness. And I started helping them. And he said, that's exactly what everybody should be doing. You know, you listen to the information, you get really effed off about it, true, but then you awaken, and then you're getting pushed into action, okay? You don't really have much of a choice. You will either be asleep your entire life, get exterminated by the New World Order in some way, whether it's their cancer or their vaccines, whatever it is, or you will wake up, lose most of your friends, lose your, become disillusioned with the entire system, have to restructure your entire self and all of your thoughts from scratch, and only once you've gotten yourself together can you then go out and start acting and really start making a difference. I encourage everybody, as many people as possible, to do that, to realize that sometimes you know enough of the problems that you can go out and start solving them, and you can stop asking other people for solutions. You are the freaking solution.
Yes.
Thank you.
Austin, earlier when you were saying 10% of the people, I disagree that 10% of the people changing their thinking will start a revolution, but I do believe if 10% actually get out there and start acting, then indeed we will live in a different world.
Well, and again, it's even smaller than that. How did Chairman Mao take over China? How many? What percentage of the population? 1% with guns. How did the Americans fight off? How did Americans fight off the British Empire, the world's largest and most powerful tyrannical scumbaggery global empire at the time? 3% of people with guns. Okay, it's not simple. It's not complicated. Once they take your guns, they take your ability to defend yourself away. Okay, and the thing is, it's sort of like a system. What would I say? It's called systemic disarmament. Everybody has weapons that they can use. Now, those weapons are sometimes physical. They're fists or guns or knives and things of that nature. Other weapons are spiritual, you know, prayers and things of that nature. Meditation, that, like, there was this big meditation that happened in D.C. this one time, where they had 3,000 people meditating to lower the murder rate by 30%, and they did. Even though the police chief said it would take 6 feet of snow to accomplish that. And then, of course, there's intellectual weapons. Exposing people, for example. I'm working on a video right now exposing the very, very intense background information behind our former Federal Reserve Foreign Exchange Committee chairman kind of dude, John Key, who's our current Prime Minister, who got the country into more debt in his first term than all previous Prime Ministers combined, and he was running for a blue party in 2008 on a campaign platform of what? You guessed it, change. Does this sound familiar, America?
Well, you know, these oligarchs and the little puppets they put in place, I mean, they see what works, and you know, if it works in the United States, it'll work for the gangsters and the oligarchs in New Zealand. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, you know, don't pray to the wind and say that, you know, somebody's going to build Noah's Ark or something is going to save your ass or anything. Just remember the real story. Guess what happened to most of the people during that story? Everybody died in the flood and Noah said, sorry, bro, you're not allowed on the boat. Okay? This is exactly what's going to happen if everybody thinks that they don't have to build their own raft. I'm sorry. It's not the case. It was like, I was thinking about the Matrix analogy. I'm sorry, I'm talking quite a bit, aren't I? I was thinking about the Matrix analogy before, and that training program where he says that the agents are holding all the keys and they are guarding all the doors, which means eventually someone is going to have to fight them. And I thought about this word one that they called Neo. They called him the One. And I thought about this for a moment a little bit more intensely. You know what it really means to me? Is that it's not you're waiting for only the one person. It's that you are the one, and you are the one that can actually change things. You are the one that can beat the agents at their own game. You are the one who can stop those bullets, not because you can dodge them, not because you can stop them in midair, but you can prevent people from wanting to shoot each other in the first freaking place if you choose to.
Isn't that the truth? That bring Tony back, and that goes to what we discuss all the time, a voluntarist society where you voluntarily work with each other instead of being forced by coercion and violence from the government to do so.
Yeah, I do believe so. Because what's happening now is our communities are being destroyed. You know, people don't know each other's names. People don't know the neighbors or anything like that. They're all locked away inside in front of the TV, and they're thinking about building an even bigger fence next year around their property so that they can see even less of their neighbors. So their neighbors now have an extra barrier in order to come and invade your privacy. Look, mate, You know why everybody's really depressed? Why everybody's on medications and things like that? It's because they got no support networks anymore. Isn't that true? All of the families and support networks and everything that used to help people with mental illness by listening, loving, and caring have disappeared almost.
Well, you know, actually, you know, if you look at the building blocks of promoting Satanism, you know, and those sort of things that are destructive to people spiritually, one of the first things they attack is the family. That's one of the very first things. And you see it now. You've got two people working in a household. So if you're both working 40-hour weeks just to make the ends meet, then you're going to have to hire a sitter or send your kids off to daycare. And then when you hire a sitter, it's not even worth the money that you're working for. You know, most of that goes to the sitter. It's just, you know, stupid. And then if you send them off to daycare, they could get shot up with, you know, vaccinations without your permission and taught God knows what. In some places, even exposed to, you know, child pornography rings and you know, satanic. I've even heard stories of where they take kids, you know, to view satanic rituals and stuff, and you know, they kind of do mind control on them that way through shocking things that they see.
Yeah,
and
like the soup, like during the Super Bowl halftime show.
yeah, exactly. Well, that's an entry level, but yeah, you know, it's just.
Hey kids, look! Here's your entry. Hey kids, look! Here's your entry level Satanism. Clap for Madonna. Clap for her.
Yeah, it is, and it's really pathetic. And we've gotten so acclimated to all this evil and to this promotion of evil that we're almost just kind of numb to it in our society. There's no uproar. I mean, my God, if they tried any of that stuff in the 60s or 50s, yeah, right. There would have been a huge outrage, and people would have been, you know, it would have been a big, big, big deal. Nowadays, I mean, you can see on day TV people having sex and cussing and Super Bowl halftime things where they're dressed up like, what is it, Behemoth or whatever?
Baphomet.
Baphomet, whatever the hell his stupid name is.
Apparently he used to play basketball.
Who's dressing up like what? I watched the Super Bowl. Nobody was dressed up like Boba Fett.
Baphomet, not Boba Fett.
Baphomet. Baphomet.
I would have remembered this.
Yeah, Baphomet, bro. He used to play basketball for the New York Baphomets.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay. I remember now. Okay. I'm good.
Yeah. But I mean, see it. Everybody sees it. I mean, whether you believe I'm a Christian, whether you believe what I believe or not, we can all see the degradation of our society and the systemic, you know, acclimation to all forms of evil, and whether it be in the music and in what we're seeing on TV and the degradation of the family and just the out and out slavery of the people. You know, more and more and more burdens on people, more taxes, more fines, more. It's horrible. And then on top of it, now we got drones running around and now we got to worry about tanks rolling through and, I guess, rubber bullets and
I believe you meant drones flying around, because as far as I know, if I look at the general population, drones have been running around for a very, very long time.
It's true.
Well, I wouldn't call them drones. I'd call them zombies.
Speaking of zombies.
Right, the zombie apocalypse is definitely upon us.
Guys, can I say one last thing?
Desensitizing things. If we're going to desensitize things, that's going along with the zombies. There's a zombie apocalypse. That's why we have Walking Dead. We're getting used to that happening. And just along with that same theme, something that I was thinking of as you guys were talking, is when I was in Ukraine, it was about 7 years ago, and I was talking to some government officials there because I did some work that related somewhat to them in the business realm, in the private sector. And I was over there, and there was a beach, and there was a lot of naked people, And I asked, you know, I said, is this a nude beach? And they said, no, actually, you can be nude anywhere on any of our beaches. And I said, well, why don't people do that? And I said, I think it's because they don't want to get desensitized. And I said, what do you mean desensitized? He says, well, when everybody gets rounded up and put into camps, a lot like what happened during World War II, there's going to be a lot of nudity. That interesting?
Here's something even more interesting in terms of the Walking Dead and the zombie apocalypse thing. Here's the interesting part. What was it? The end of the third season, I think, of The Walking Dead. I was quite... I only just came to this realization recently that they were desperately trying to defend their prison because it was the only safe place.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, hold on a second, hold on a second. In an analogous way, that's what we're all doing.
Vinny, Tony, hold that thought. I've got to pay some sponsors and run some promos here. Can you guys please stick around for a few minutes and let me pay my sponsors and do my thing?
No worries, brother.
I'd love to get back to you guys.